Paris had no equivalent of the riding simulator to help Cecilia learn about the ship, but she used the next best, the computer's three-dimensional visuals.
This is a very nice hull. You've got a fair balance of capacity and speed.
But my captains always said it was a slow old barge compared to other ships. A luxury yacht can't be expected to compete.
You and I both know your former captains had other reasons. It may be a luxury yacht, but we use a very similar hull for missions that require a fair turn of speed. And you've got the right power ratio for it. Whoever designed this adaptation chose well. Now, let me highlight each system in color, and you can begin to learn how it works.
Cecilia was an apt pupil. She had a surprising ability to grasp 3D structures and spotted several features Harris had meant to mention before she could bring them up.
Yes, you do have waste space there. That's a design compromise, but it's not a bad one. Look at the alternatives. If you ran the coolant this way... See? You get this undesirable cluster of conduits here.
Oh, and that's supposed to be at a constant temperature.
Yes. Now, let's add the electricals.
They both lost track of time.
Oh, dinner already? I didn't... This isn't really dull at all. I could learn this.
So you could. I'm glad I didn't bore you.
Harris stood and stretched. She would need a hot bath to get the kinks out this time.
Ugh, I've got to be going. I've got some crew business to take care of.
Well, thank you. Tomorrow, then?
I'll look forward to it.
Harris was not, in fact, looking forward to more riding. But fair was fair, and Cecilia was as diligent a pupil as she could wish. After a few days, Harris found herself enjoying the riding instruction more than she'd expected. The soreness wore off. She had good natural balance and a lot of experience with simulators. It was less monotonous than the usual exercise apparatus in the crew gym or swimming against the current in the pool. And she could not have asked for a more attentive owner. Cecilia had her own way of thinking about the various systems, relating them more often to equestrian matters than Harris thought necessary. But if she could understand better that way, why not? At least she was learning, paying attention. And in the future, that might save her life. Still, Harris had not forgotten the need for emergency drills. She herself gave a training session to the house staff and a separate one to Cecilia. Cecilia suggested letting Bates hand out the assignments to the young people, and Harris agreed. She had managed to avoid young Ronnie successfully so far. The first unannounced ship-wide drill would have made a good comedy cube. Harris entered the specs into the main computer the night before, using an event function that kept the time from her as well. It should have been simple, a single small fire in one of the fire-prone areas. But very little went as planned. The alarm went off at 0400 ship's time. Harris, fairly sure what it was, nonetheless responded as she would to any emergency. Those crew members she thought of as the best arrived in their emergency stations within the time limit. The others straggled in late, in one case, 3 minutes late. Cecilia logged in within the limit, as did Bates and the cook, who, spotting the faked fire, promptly put an upturned garbage container on it. The right decision. Four of the young people sauntered into their assigned stations late, but flustered, and two did not appear at all.
They have to be somewhere.
Oh, they are. They're in number 5 storage bay, ignoring the whole thing.
But they can't... Who is it?
Ronnie and George. Since you gave them their assignments via Bates...
I'll be glad to ream them out. But are you sure they heard the alarm in there?
All the compartments have a bell. No, they're hiding out for purposes of their own. One thing I could do is put a scare into them. They think this is just a stupid drill, but they don't know what the supposed emergency is. If I dump power in there, take off the AC, or lose a little pressure...
Do it. Do you have sensors in there?
Harris called up the compartment specs.
Oh, yes. You have a pretty fair internal security system, probably to let your staff monitor off-ship loading. See?
There were Ronnie and George, looking stubborn, hunched over a hard copy of something. Harris did not wait to hear what they were saying, but her fingers flicked over the screen controls. The young men suddenly stopped talking and stared at each other.
She wouldn't.
Why does he sound like that?
Air pressure. Their ears just popped, I'll bet.
Her fingers moved again, and both of them looked pale and ill at ease.
You'd better go. You want to be properly angry and upset, and you don't want to know what happened to them. Not until they tell you. I won't hurt them.
I know that.
Cecilia left reluctantly. George lounged against a burlap sack marked Fertile Seeds, Contains Mercury, Do Not Use for Food.
If you get into the computer, then you can pull drills on her. She won't know.
Neither will we. I don't want to be up all night every night.
You don't have to be. That's the beauty of it. You just set them up, but cut our bells out of it.
She'll know who did it. I still think I should start with the internal monitors. She's spending a lot of time with Aunt Cecilia now. She's bound to say something I can use.
They had a hard copy of the communications board specs, left in an unsecured file from one of Cecilia's training sessions. Getting into the secured files would be harder. Ronnie had the feeling that Captain Dammer Backbone Serrano would not leave her files unsecured.
Yes, but what can she do? You're the owner's nephew. She can hardly throw you out in the void.
Maybe.
Ronnie stared at the specs, trying to remember all that stuff he had in class. This little squiggle was supposed to mean something about the way that channel and this other channel interacted, wasn't it? He put his thumb firmly on the line that came from Cecilia's sitting room and a finger on the one that came from the gym. He really needed a tap in both. If only Skunk Cat had been along. Scatty was the best for this sort of thing.
Here's the captain's direct line to the bridge.
George had good ideas, but always managed to get the wrong slant on them. Ronnie did not want to interfere with the captain's communication to the bridge. He wanted them to know how ineffectual she was going to be once he figured out how to sabotage her. Suddenly his ears popped, then popped again. He saw from George's face that the same unsettling shudder was going through his stomach too. George said something. He paid no attention. Lower air pressure. Shifts in the artificial gravity. Could it have been a real emergency? He was suddenly sweaty, and as suddenly cold, the sweat drying on him. No, it had taken too long. That bitch of a captain was doing something to him, doing it on purpose.
She wouldn't.
Out, before the pressure locks engage.
But they had engaged. Ronnie could not wrestle the hatch open against the safety locks. He would not call for help. His stomach protested as another shift of AG squashed him, then released, and the air pressure dropped again to another painful pop of his ears.
I'm going to...
Not in variable G! Oh, hold it, George!
There was nothing to use for a spew bag. Every storage container in there, bags, boxes, tubes, had a lockdown seal on it. A surge of AG crushed Ronnie to the deck, then let up slowly. Air pressure returned. His ears popped just as many times on the way back to ship normal. His stomach tried to crawl out of his mouth. George looked as bad as he felt, but had managed not to spew. He swallowed the vile taste in his mouth and rolled over on his back. He had a sudden pounding headache.
Anyone inside?
A crewman, someone Ronnie did not recognize, in full emergency gear.
My, you weren't in here for the drill, were you? It's not anyone's assigned station. You're lucky I found you. We're doing a pressure check on all compartments.
Ronnie staggered to his feet.
Just get us out of here, that miserable captain.
It wasn't her fault. It's a computer-generated emergency. They all are, you know? Didn't you get your handouts?
Yes, we got our handouts. Thank you. Just let me pass, please.
George shoved past and shambled down the passage to the nearest toilet. Ronnie himself hoped to sneak back to his own stateroom, but in the lounge he found a very angry Aunt Cecilia. She said all the things he expected and didn't want to hear, and he managed not to listen. She had said them all before, and so had others. And it was not really his fault anyway. It was that captain. That arrogant, stiff-necked, conniving bitch of a captain. And he was going to get even with her. If Aunt Cecilia didn't want to see his face for 2 days, that was fine. He could eat in his room. He would be glad to eat in his room. All the more time to figure out how to do what he was going to do. Still, an attempt at patching things up never hurt. He did his best at a contrite apology, but she turned away, ignoring him. Ignoring him. No one ignored him. By the time he reappeared in the dining room several days later, to all appearances chastened and determined to be a good boy, Ronnie had figured it out. At least the beginning of it. It had been easy, using the specs he had, to get a tap into his aunt's sitting room and into the gym. He hadn't yet dared try the captain's cabin, but he was hearing a lot as it was. That fool captain actually liked his ridiculous aunt, he'd discovered. Enjoyed the riding lessons, enjoyed explaining to Cecilia how her ship worked, enjoyed the relaxed conversations in the evenings when they explored each other's backgrounds. A lot of it bored him silly. Talk about books he'd never read and art he'd never seen and music he avoided. No juicy gossip, no political arguments. It was almost like hearing an educational tape, the way they discussed the topics and deferred courteously to each other. Other bits, though, fascinated him. His aunt's analysis of the workings of the family businesses. His own father hadn't made it that clear. Captain Serrano's version of her resignation from the fleet, which his aunt teased out of her with surprising delicacy. He had never imagined that someone in the regular space services would dare to disobey an order. They were all such stiff-necked prigs. It didn't make sense. She should have known she would lose her ship one way or the other. He could almost feel guilty listening. He would not have expected to hear that woman so upset, or for that reason, but he loved the sense of power it gave him. She could be shaken from her calm, controlled persona. She was not invincible. He would start with something simple, he decided. Something that might be an accident, that would be hard to trace back to him. Harris used the reins when she rode now. She had discovered, as Cecilia gradually enabled the simulator sensors, just how sluggish that first mount had been. Cecilia had shown her a cube of herself at that first lesson, and she was ready to laugh at the novice who couldn't even keep her position for a single circuit. On this program, that novice would have been bucked off already. The brown neck and ears in front of her changed position. She felt the movement in her seat and the lessening tension of the reins in her hand. The simulator lunged. This time, Harris was ready and controlled that with a leg and hand. And they were cantering. She liked cantering. Circling, straight, circling again. Today, she would jump for the first time. She was eager, sure she was ready. A small white fence appeared ahead of her.
Keep your leg on him.
Harris squeezed, and the fence moved toward her faster. Then the horse's back rose beneath her and fell again, and she grabbed and got a handful of metal tubing. The illusion went blank. The simulator beneath her was once more an inert hunk of metal and plastic.
Not bad. You grabbed for the right thing, at least. I had one student who reached for the helmet, and you didn't fall all the way off.
Harris blinked.
A real horse wouldn't stop and let me get my breath, would it?
No. You can grab for mane like that and stay on, usually, but you were pretty high out of the saddle. I think you need more time in the two-point. Let's go.
The rest of that session, and the next, Harris spent practicing the position she should have taken over the jump. Then she put on the helmet to find the ring full of jumps.
Nothing big. But if you see more than one, you can't get fixated on it. Now, pick up a trot.
Harris came out of that lesson a convert to riding.
It's like a boat, bouncing over the waves, only in a boat you're in it, and this way you're surrounding it. Not really like sailing, more like whitewater kayaking.
Cecilia looked blank.
You never did any?
No, just the little bit of sailing I told you about.
Harris ran her hands through her hair, not caring if it stood up in peaks.
But it's the same thing. You're swooping along between obstacles, only they're rocks making standing waves, not fences.
If you say so. I always thought of it as music, myself. A choral or orchestral work, where if everything goes well, it sounds lovely, and if you get out of time, you crash.
Anyway, I like it. I don't want to quit when my 10 hours are up. That is, if you'll let me.
Your 10 hours were up last session. Do you think I'd let a potential convert quit before she got hooked? I thought you'd come around. Just wait until you can jump a real course. Small, but a real one.
And you, don't tell me you don't like knowing more about your ship.
That's true. I know you think I'm crazy to liken it to stable management, but that's how it makes sense to me.
Whatever works.
Harris would have said more, but Ronnie and the other young people came into the gym.
Is the pool available, Aunt Cecilia?
Though his voice was polite enough, his expression showed what he thought of the two older women exercising. He did not look at Harris at all.
Yes, for about an hour. But you ought to get in some riding time, Ronnie.
I'll get enough riding at Bunny's. We'll leave you the practice time. Are you enjoying yourself, Captain?
It was the first time he'd actually spoken to her since the incident on the bridge. His expression was so carefully neutral, it could have been either courtesy or insult.
Yes, I am. Lady Cecilia is an excellent teacher.
I'm sure.
Ronnie would have been very handsome, Harris thought, if he'd learned to limit that curl of lip to moments of passion.
It's too bad you'll have to let your newfound expertise wither in Hospitality Bay, although I understand they have donkey rides along the beach.
Harris would not have answered so childish an insult, but Cecilia's cheeks flamed. Her hair seemed to stand on end.
On the contrary, Ronnie, I'm taking Captain Serrano with me. She's going to be quite adequate by the time we arrive.
Harris blinked. That was the first she'd heard of this plan.
You're taking her? But she's just a...
Ronnie looked from one to the other, then to his friends.
If you'll excuse me, Lady Cecilia, I have urgent business on the bridge, remember?
Oh, yes, of course.
Cecilia dismissed her with a wave and turned back to her nephew. Harris used the gym's other entrance. It was not all a fake. Though she had no desire to watch aunt and nephew sparring, she had, in fact, scheduled another emergency drill for the crew only and needed to change. She and the crew would all be wearing full sensor attachments so that she could analyze the drill in detail later on. She had allowed herself 15 minutes originally, but Ronnie's interruption had cost her a couple. In her cabin, she ripped off her sweaty riding clothes, spent a minute in the fresher, and dressed in her uniform with practiced speed. Anyone who couldn't bathe and dress for inspection in 11 minutes would never have survived academy training. She picked up the sensor patches and placed them on head, shoulders, hands, chest, and back of waist and feet. The recording command unit slipped into her pocket. 3 minutes. She picked up the last of her personal emergency gear with one eye on the chronometer readout. Breather mask, detox, command wand for hatch locks, command wands for systems controls, the little plastic or foil packets that she had learned to use so long ago that never left her except in the fresher, where she kept them stuck to a wall in their waterproof pouch. She left her quarters and moved without haste toward the bridge, turning on the recording command unit. Sometime in the next 2 minutes, something would go wrong. Without triggering any alarm on the family side, unless the lockout patch failed, her skin felt tight. Riding an electronic virtual horse was good exercise, but this was the real thrill, waiting for trouble you knew was coming. Whatever it was, the crew had just noticed something wrong on the displays when she came onto the bridge at precisely the hour she had set.
Don't know what that is, but we better find out. Cut off the circulation.
Captain on the bridge! Captain, there's something in environmental...
Inadequate even so soon. She switched the command screen to environmental and almost grinned. Pure happenstance, but she'd seen something like this before. She didn't say that.
Isolate that compartment.
The mole's hands flickered across his console.
Captain, the fan blower's stuck on.
Not quite the same problem. Harris hoped it was mostly virtual. The actual compound stank abominably and would penetrate any porous material. The mole had the sense to cut out the electrical line supplying the blower.
Good job.
Then the blower cut back in. Something prickled the back of Harris's neck as she watched Gavin override the mole's commands and cut power to the entire section. Having the fan blower stuck on was within the parameters she'd given the computer. Having it come back on after its normal electrical connection was cut pushed the parameters as she remembered them. Had she been imprecise? Could she have forgotten to close a command line somewhere in the problem set? The fan stopped. She listened to Gavin give reasonable orders for clearing the contaminant based on its presumed identity. Then, and she was not surprised, the fan came back on. Gavin turned to her with an expression between disgust and worry.
I've got it.
From her console, her command set blocked the computer's own, briefly, as she isolated and locked out all executing logic loaded in the past 72 hours. That would undo some things that would have to be redone, but it should safely contain the problem. And that second startup took it well beyond the parameters she'd set. Someone had interfered. Interfered with her ship on her drill. Rage filled her, along with the exultation that conflict always brought. This was an enemy she could fight. She knew exactly whom to blame for this one, and he had been ordered off her bridge only 63 hours before. The fan had stopped for good this time, and she went on with the drill, noting that the crew had responded well even to this more complicated problem. The question was whether to tell Cecilia. She liked Cecilia, she'd decided, and it wasn't her fault that she had a bratty nephew, or even that she'd been stuck with him for this trip. If she could contain Ronnie without bothering Cecilia. But on the other hand, she was the owner, and the owner had a right to know what was going on. If it had been an admiral's nephew, she'd have known what to do. Not that any admiral's nephew would have gotten so far with mischief still unchecked. But the first thing to do was find out how he did it and when.
Sirkin, you're cross-training in computer systems. I want you to crawl through every trickle in the past 60 hours or so and identify every input.
Sirkin blinked, but did not look daunted.
Anything in particular, Captain?
I entered a problem set for the drill yesterday. What just happened was not within parameters. Someone skunked them. I want to know when, from what terminal, and the details of the hook. Can do?
Yes, I think so. Was it that young idiot who got himself caught in the storage compartment?
Harris glanced around. The entire crew was listening.
It might have been. But when you find out, suppose you tell me, not the whole world.
Yes, ma'am.